Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Katter, and I work on the Energy Technology and Resource Management here at Baird. And it's my pleasure to introduce Colby Altman, who's the CFO of ICL Israeli Chemicals. And he's going to give a brief presentation, and if we have time left over, we'll open it up for questions. So please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, David, and good afternoon, everyone. Great to be here for the first time. After we go over the safe harbor important slide, we can start. And I thought, because it's the first time we are presenting here, our industry sector is growing very, very fast, and this is why we thought it's good to be here, to give you a very short corporate overview of ICL. So ICL, by the numbers, we are selling just over $5 billion. We generated almost $350 million of free cash flow in 2016. We are on target to exceed this level in 2017. We just announced yesterday our third quarter results. Around 13,000 employees, just over $5 billion of market cap. Operating income was 580, and here again, we are on target to exceed this level in 2017. Dividend yield, we'll talk about capital allocation later on. We try to provide solid shareholders return through dividend payments. We are paying 50% of our adjusted net income as a dividend on a quarterly basis. The yield over the last 12 months was just over 3%. And I will talk about the segments and the business units that we have. You can see here that our industrial business in 2016 sales were just slightly lower than 50%, and our agro division was just about slightly above 50%. It changed in the last quarter, Q3. For the first time, our industrial division sold 51% of our total sales. In terms of profit, we are already, for the last couple of years, due to the commodity cycle, we are at more or less two-thirds of our specialty businesses generating the profit, two-thirds of the profit coming from those specialty businesses, and one-third coming from the commodity. I wanted to show you this slide because I think that ICL is a unique company in terms of our extensive experience of the company, and you have here the ICL extended management team, over 300 years of ICL specific experience in our company, starting with our CEO, over 40% in the company, did all the roles in the company, managed all the segments, and now for over a year now he's our CEO. The two division president, the industrial division, Eli Glazer is the president, over 30 years in the company, and Ofer Lipschitz, the president of our agro division, is over 20 years in the company. I think that I'm the exception here with my 2.5 years in the company. So by April of next year, when I will celebrate my third year in the company, I will be able to say that I'm contributing 1% to this overall bucket, but this is really the exception in our company. The way we are structured, you see here, the essential mineral division is in charge of our commodity businesses, the mines, the coal sites, as well as the agriculture sector, so specialty fertilizer, although it is a specialty business, it's not a commodity, but it's part of this division. Then we have the specialty solution division. This is our industrial division, capturing the advanced additives, the industrial products, and the food specialties, and we'll go slightly into those here. So ICL is based on three legs. Those legs are the basic minerals that we mine, potash, bromine, and phosphate. We started in Israel, where we have been around 50 miles from each other. We have the Dead Sea, where we mine our potash and bromine, and the phosphate mine, open pit mine, that is very close by. So this is our origin. From those three minerals, those three legs of the company, we started to develop along many, many years. We are more than 70 years as a company. We developed those value chains around the minerals. Actually, the smallest value chain in terms of the width of the products that we have is potash. Potash we still do sell mostly as a commodity, and only some portion of that is going into our specialty, mainly specialty fertilizer business. So this is actually, as a standalone, this is a big product for us. We are selling around 5 million tons of potash every year, six largest player in this market, but still from the in terms of the value chain that we are creating, this is the smallest one. The next one is the bromine. We are the largest bromine producer on Earth. We have the largest capacity. We do that also from the Dead Sea, and we developed along the many, many years a full industry of bromine compounds that you can see here right at the bottom in the red. Our phosphate chain is the largest chain in terms of the value, the downstream that we went through to the specialty agriculture sector, specialty fertilizer that are phosphate-based fertilizers in a combination with potash in combination and many other things. Going into industrial applications like fire safety, oil additives, industrial solutions, and many, many others, as well as food and pharmaceutical ingredients that are also phosphate-based ingredients, and we expanded this portfolio later on. So you see here the various applications that were developed in the company from those three minerals, and for many, many years we are also playing in those specialty sectors, although it was really, really growing only lately in the last 2 to 3 years. So if we divide the company, you see here the agro versus the industrial in terms of the way we split the company. And in terms of sales, so far, historically, just over 50% of our sales were in the agro sector and just less than 50% in the industrial. Last quarter, we saw this change that is coming. We believe that we are very well positioned with our specialty businesses to capture the mega trend that exists today around the world in terms of the need for more food, food production. So our commodity businesses and the specialty fertilizer are well targeted on that with our potash and phosphate assets. The consumption of better food, more organic food with our whey protein business around the food and the food ingredients. Our main focus is texture and stability. This is our space. In the food ingredients, we are obviously not a food company. We are supplying the food companies. Our products mainly, again, in the texture and stability. Automotive cars is a huge opportunity for us because we are a very strong player in flame retardants that are bromine-based. And those cars and those technologies, the more electricity, the more electronics that goes into those sectors, the more needs for flame retardants that are bromine-based and phosphorus-based. And we are a very, very strong player in those spaces. And energy storage and all the regulatory requirements that are now are fueling our growth potential. You can see here the difference between our two divisions. The essential mineral division is focused mainly on operational excellence. In the commodity sector, the name of the game is cost per ton. The efficiency of your assets, the cost competitiveness of them. So operational excellence is the main focus. Specialty solution is totally different. Here it's the commercial excellence. It's to build the brand, it's to find the new markets, always fuel the pipeline with new products. So most of our R&D money goes into this division, and to build this for the long term, you always need to be very competitive in terms of your commercial capabilities. You can see here the difference between the sales and the profit. So as I said, for the first time in this quarter, Q3, sales were more than 50% in our specialty businesses. And you can see that already for quite a few quarters, around two-thirds of our profit is coming from those specialty businesses that are really growing very nice, as well as the commodity cycle that is hurting our commodity businesses. So the balanced approach of ICL is really helping us to get along with those commodity cycles. Just a little bit about our assets, the competitiveness of our mineral assets. I will start with the Dead Sea and the potash manufacturing in the Dead Sea. The main reason why this is such an important and very cost-attractive site is coming from two dimensions that we try to illustrate in this slide. First of all, this is not an underground mine. We are using the sun through an evaporation pond. So the sun is doing the work for us. This is why the energetic factor of this site is very, very competitive. We don't need a lot of energy. The sun is evaporating the liquid, and we are extracting the carnallite into our production site and generating the potash. So this is the first reason. The second reason is logistic channels. We are only 100 miles, more or less, from the port in Israel, the port in Eilat that is going into the Far East, and the port in Ashdod that goes into the Mediterranean, Europe, and U.S. and South America. So we are able to ship in a very cost-competitive prices. Our peers in Canada that mines potash in Saskatchewan needs to ship it and to transport it into the Vancouver port over 1,800 miles. So we are 100 miles from the port, and this is a very important cost competitiveness from our perspective. Moving to the bromine, you can see here, and we try to simulate that with this graph, that the bromine in the Dead Sea is so concentrated compared to other sources that this will make the Dead Sea the ultimate source on Earth for bromine in years to come. We are the largest player of bromine on Earth, and we have the largest capacity. We are leading the market together with our peers in Albemarle that are on the other side of the Dead Sea, but we are much larger than them and more competitive in terms of the way we are processing it. this is why we decided to adopt a very clear strategy of price over volume. We started to increase prices of bromine in late 2014, and over the last 3 years, we have increased moderately the prices in China of elemental bromine. And this is sticking. This is going very, very well. Now the prices of bromine in China are more or less in the same level of the U.S. and Europe. The next wave of price increases will come mainly on the bromine compound. There we are checking on a customer-by-customer basis what is the price sensitiveness of this customer, what is the ingredient of our products within the overall product that the customer is doing. In what we found that in many, many cases, our portion is very, very low, and the price sensitiveness of our customers is not very high. I will just give you one example, clear brine fluid, which is used to balance pressure in deep water wells of oil or gas. And out of the entire operation of those customers, the size of the clear brine fluid, this liquid, is a fraction of their entire cost. So really, from their perspective, they are much, much less sensitive to our prices. Moving to our other side, you see here some pictures of our site in Spain, in Catalonia, where we have a potash mine that we are now working on combining together. You see the UK that we are now transforming this site from potash to polysulfate, which is a semi-specialty site, semi-specialty fertilizer. that we are using and our site in China, in the southern part of China, where we have phosphate rock that we are now transforming into specialty products to fuel our specialty businesses also in China. Our specialty business line and division, again, this is the growth driver of the company. You can see here the last 3 years and the 9 months results of this division. You see that we are on track to beat also the $2.5 billion of sales that we did last year in this segment, and the profitability that was increasing very nicely over the last 3 years. Again, we are on track to do even better in 2017. Few words on the financial overview. The quarter that we announced just yesterday had a lot of green colors, 4% increase in sales, overall sales. This is the highest quarter for the last 3 years since the last cycle of the commodity potash and phosphate cycle started. We are getting back to a very nice growth, although those commodity prices and the commodity cycle still exist. Over 30% increase in adjusted operating income was very, very significant, and CapEx investment, we significantly reduced our capital expenditure over the last few years in order to shape back the cost structure of the company. How did we do that? How did we reduce significantly our cost structure? First is the CapEx. You saw that, you can see here, 2013, we invested almost $900 million of CapEx. We reduced that to around $500 million this year. Next year, we are going to expand in the CapEx, so it will be higher than the 2017 level. And what we brought here is the depreciation level. The reason why I wanted to put that so you'll get a feeling is even in those tough years of commodity cycle and the need to invest and to maintain and to improve our commodity assets, we find a way, even when we are reducing the CapEx, to still invest more than our CapEx, more than our depreciation level. We want to take care of the competitiveness of our sites, as well as to invest in the future growth abilities of our specialty businesses. So most of our growth CapEx that is beyond the depreciation level is going into our specialty businesses and improving the competitiveness of our sites. So one thing was the strict CapEx management. The second one was the reduction of the cost per ton, and the last one is working capital, where we did a lot of work over the last 2 to 3 years. And this helped us in the middle of a commodity cycle, especially in the potash and the phosphate, to turn around the company from 2 years, 2014 and 2015, where we hardly generated any free cash flow. 2015, we finished the entire year with minus 27. Last year, 2016, was already a year where we went back on target after we took a significant amount of cost out of the company, $350 million of free cash flow, and we are on track to do more than that in this year. S&P just last week reaffirmed our investment grade rating at BBB- in a very positive report with a stable outlook. Capital allocation approach, just a few words around that. We are trying to optimize all the time, even when the commodity cycle is putting a lot of pressure on the company. We are trying to optimize between three angles of a triangle. First is to make sure we still take care of the growth engines that will take the company forward in the years to come. So we are investing, we are doing some small bolt-on acquisitions, and we are investing in assets and in projects that are important to take our company forward. The second angle is to manage our debt level. And we announced that we are going to divest assets with more or less the size of $500 million or maybe more in order to reduce our leverage. And in order, we are now more or less at 3.6 debt to EBITDA. We want to take it down. So this is why we decided to divest again at the size of $500 million and up businesses. And the third one is the dividend yield and shareholders return through dividend and other measures. And we are paying dividend more or less on a quarterly basis, 50% of our net income. So I think that this balanced approach is really an optimal from our company. It keeps the company very well managed. The focus is on cash generation and shareholders' value return, and obviously taking care of the good health of the financial stability of the company. So our focus in the near term. Still, the near-term main challenges is the commodity fertilizer prices. They went up a little bit in the potash. Still, phosphate is very, very low, but this is still, we are still within the cycle. Restructuring activities in our European sites, moving our UK facility from a potash facility, potash mine, into a semi-specialty fertilizer mine. This requires a restructuring, and currently this mine is not profitable. So the great results we had in the last quarter were, although those two mines in the UK as well as in Spain are not profitable, but we were doing great on the other fronts. This is very encouraging for us because we know that once we will finish those restructuring, we will move the UK to the new fertilizer, and we will consolidate Spain into one mine that is much more competitive. We will be able to grow even further our net results. So we will continue to the growth momentum in our specialty businesses. We will optimize our mineral assets. We are not looking to expand on our commodity businesses. We are happy with what we have, but we don't plan to expand it further. And we will divest those businesses in order to continue and strengthen our balance sheet. So this is more or less the key takeaways, and we can take some questions.
So if anyone is interested in asking a question, feel free to either raise your hand or send an email to session5@rwbaird.com. And I can kick off the questions quickly on the last point you made on the specialty solutions and how you expect that to develop as a percentage of both sales and operating income over the next 5 years.
Yeah, so this business does not require a significant amount of capital. We are looking at a return on invested capital of around 15% in those assets and those business units. The business units that are generating most of the growth right now is the bromine-based industrial product business unit, as well as the advanced additive, where we have all the specialty industrial solution, fire safety, as well as oil additives and others. The food business unit, we believe that there is a very nice growth potential there. Was struggling in the last year, but we now see in the third quarter they start to recover. And the combination of our phosphate-based ingredients as well as the whey protein, the organic baby products that we are producing, the ingredient for this, selling mainly into China, and we believe that this is a very interesting growth engine for us.
Thank you. And we have one question from the audience here. How does the current political unrest in Catalonia impact your potash operations in the region?
So currently it does not. Yeah, we are located in Catalonia. We believe that this is a very important economic source for this government as well, whether it's Spain or Catalonia. We employ there around 1,000 people. So far, they kept us out of all this and stability there. And we believe that because it's so important for the economy there that we will not see any issues there.
Excellent. Thank you. And with that, we are running out of time here. So if anyone has any follow-up questions, we will be outside for a breakout session. Up next in this room is Materion Corporation in LaSalle, Mobile Mini, Stateroom, MTU Aero Engines. Upstairs in North Ballroom, there will be Allegheny Technologies. Thank you guys very much for the presentation. It was excellent.